here we are with a L, huh? Middle of the L. So we would have to have soon a whole volume, all the updates that we're doing now, huh?
Baruch was just mentioning all of that. He's a good secretary.
Okay, just what time is it now? 25 after. It was while I been especially no, I forgot the idea, but gone many hours now straight from the Christ of Zach and the Shurim. I want to make sure I don't get tired in the middle of the is there anything available like Coca-Cola or something? And I don't like to die. Just to keep up.
Work for the house.
It's what?
You should put around on the house, let's say.
I can't hear you.
Should bring around for the boys.
Oh, for the boys, they have a show that guy now. Yeah, right. Where's the oil until he comes back? Where's the oil going to be for Rosh Hashanah? He'll be davening here. Anything special in the davening here that's unique? Like Tisha B'Av, you have a special. Do you have anything special here?
Very nice Bali Tula. Mm-hmm. Rob speaks, something too special, but you feel very.
Great.
The Bali Tzvil are into it. It helps you to daven because the appropriate tunes, I suppose.
Lovely. Shkoyev.
You get a cup for that?
What? Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know where the cups are.
I have to be have to hesitate and so I ask you because the rabbi
have my turn.
It's good. Maybe I can share it with the oilam. Not too experienced with these. Glad I don't usually drink this kind of thing, but the times of emergencies. What joke do you think that? So who knows what's in here? No idea. But I mean, one thing is it works, you know. Chemicals and this and that, you know, but deeper, so for a little chateau, I mean, no, I don't know what the chateau in the other room.
Right.
Okay, what was that? So, I understand, Baruch, you were in the midst of making the countdown for last week. Let's hear.
Five upas. One, curiosity, upa, we could call it.
Curb curiosity.
Look, I think the first one was the davening.
First one is the davening.
Right.
Expanding our davening and the call and all the rest. Then the curiosity. Then we had the uka of doing tshuva immediately when you do something wrong. And learning the sugyas of the shofaros and Rosh Hashanah. And thinking, contemplating about Elul and the nature of Elul for a few minutes.
Very beautifully put. So that Omer and Kayim both?
I didn't do any of the sugyas in Rosh Hashanah. I just haven't had time to take up a new Gemara in addition to the other three that, between children and learning and this and that, it's just haven't been able to do that. The other thing is, I was pretty successful in, at least to some degree, at different times. Got a new insight into the curiosity. Not like insight, but just like another situation that just like I noticed in Chazarat HaShas, during Chazarat HaShas, often somebody will go and switch the times for the next day. Because, you know, it's written up there on the board, what are all the times? And they'll start writing them for tomorrow's times. It's in the middle of Chazarat HaShas. I noticed that every single person in the entire Kimat Pe'achad, everybody's like, there's absolutely nothing going on. But we're all drawn to any sort of activity that, like, it's like curiosity. What is it going to be? Is it going to be a half a minute more tomorrow? Or is it going to be like a... And I, like, was working on just focusing on Chazarat HaShas and not looking. Because it's just funny, you know, you just kind of like get drawn in because your mind is working and you're on the look and your eyes have nothing to do, you're just listening and like...
Mara, though, is interesting that it's in a situation, let's say, of dominating, probably other things too, someone who makes a movement that is unusual, that will automatically, which is kind of his idea, but in instance, we have to be just careful not to do anything out of the ordinary, you know, we should... Get up and putting on a safe or these kind of things that really, can be really distracting.
Itaka says in Halacha that there's a lot of that moving in front of some of the damage from Israel, because it was distracting. That's one thing. But besides that, that's like Ika Halacha, but I believe the Mishnah Berurah brings down even by Krishna, so that you shouldn't walk in front of somebody when they're saying Krishna, because it's distracting. Say, well, you know, let him keep his eyes, you know, where they're going. But the human being, you know, the weakness of the human being.
Makom Kavua, in general.
What?
The whole concept of a Makom Kavua is so that you're used to it, it's not going to be distracting you because...
Right. I think it says even by Kaddish. I think it says by Kaddish also that you really shouldn't walk in front of somebody. It's the same thing. And you know, myself, how many times like I'm, you know, dabbling a thing or whatever it is, and how much it distracts you completely, you know, like that. I mean, it just shows the weakness of the person, and I mean, here the halacha is catering to the weakness of the.
Tshuva is a very typical thing to do on the spot.
You have to be. I found it very difficult also, just to be aware.
Right, because
you've done something
most
wrong.
Of the time when we're doing stuff, even if it's a little bit wrong, normally what we do is we rationalize.
Yeah.
It really isn't so bad, and that's why we're doing it. So for us to be able, for me to like kind of like, you know, in the middle of your day, kind of stop and realize, no, that was really something I really shouldn't have done, takes a big.
Yeah, that happened to me today where. Tonight, I realized a few hours earlier, maybe I, you know, said something which might be Lashon Hara. But, like, it only came 3 hours later.
It's just because that's our nature.
Yeah. But the avoidance for this is that when you do realize it, right, when you do realize it, so they, you know, in other words, the issue that you're addressing, you know, is a very important issue, but you wouldn't be over on this inyan if you rationalize, and you shouldn't rationalize, but this is talking about when the person knows he did the wrong thing, and he realizes it's wrong, and he wants to do tshuva, he's really has charata, and he wants to do tshuva. So take out the old, you know, notebook and his old scribble pad, and he puts it there, which is good. It's good. It's one of the things. But the truth of this is that besides putting in the scribble pad, and you'll go to the mikveh, put in your gargle, and make a whole big tshuva, which is good. I'm not still knocking that. Just saying that it's about that. Besides that, the person can have the concept. In other words, like if the person rationalizes and justifies, you say, okay, that's one thing, but we're not addressing that. What I was addressing is that when you're cognizant of it 100%, and you know you did it, and you have, and you even want to do tshuva, it's not trying to also convince the person that he's realized it and he's missed it, and he wants to do tshuva, except that he tucks it away some other time. That's what this book is addressing. It. Why tuck it away? Why put it on the way for some other time when on the spot too? That's what this issue is. Okay, good, Rabbi Shai. So are you finished, Baruch, with your report?
Yes, I could go on, but okay. I don't want to monopolize.
So what about your thoughts? Are you also
I just said my comments about the tshuva thing, but the other ones, the curiosity and davening part to keep up. I around 3 or 4 days I learned the sugya, which was good because I've heard shirim before, Gunuch and Ganach and Yili Yeli, but actually seeing the sugya inside me, and I just found small insight, like we're just so careful when it comes to Daraisa and the opinions in the Mishnah and the Braisa, and what we are noheg nowadays is really a combination of everything. So it's just, I guess it shows our chavivas of a mitzvah, and like we want to make sure we're getting it right.
Right, it's a very, very good point. It's interesting bringing up this thing that there's something very unusual and unique about the mitzvah of shofar that ordinarily you have a machlokes tanoim, which really is based on. So you always machlia. In here, the Gemara itself, Rabbi Bohu is matakin Klai Yisrael to be machmirim, to be yetzis both the Mishnah and the Braisa.
Yeah.
And the Rabbi Bohu comes along, he makes it another coil that maybe it goes them together.
Right.
So it's like, it's like mind-boggling how this one mitzvah, how the eyes of the Chazal were so it's a machmir on the one of the other things.
But maybe it's not machmir, but it was just whatever the kol is, by making it and everyone listening to it, you are being yotzei this daya. And both are, this type of cry is important, and this type of amon is important. Maybe those are the two words for it. So we want to make sure to include both, and not machria like a cry or a moan, but like maybe people are different. Maybe one person is more likely to to wail, another person is more likely to internalize. And
I hear. I mean, here you think that whatever it is, what you're doing really is giving a reason why your show is different. But I'm just pointing out that you don't realize that the regular structure, when you have ordinary key of a mitzvah, and you have a machlokes, so this is way far beyond the ordinary yachas that we have.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
And then you have the next question is why? Like what? That's very good. It's what you're talking about right now is exactly what I was talking about. Why it's good to see the structure, because now you know what's going on there. What we do, it's really machlokes tanoim, and because most people think there's nothing wrong with it either. So they just close their eyes and they hear all the sounds and say, and they try to connect with Hashem when you hear it, which is good, and I'm not knocking it, but when you understand what's going on, that and people think that all these shloshim kolis is like it's like the dal's meaning. In other words, the shloshim kolis is the right soul. 30 kolis that appear from the Torah. Remember, the minhag we do 100, but shasat chak we do 30. If you have somebody sick or somebody go to the house, you do just the 30. But it's the 30 kolis with the raisa, right? But when you learn the structure, it's not 30 kolis with the raisa. First of all, it's only 9, right? And according to some dayas, it's only 3. Yitzhu the kia, and the other 6 is the rabbana. But according to Paskin, like the Mishnah, that all 9 are the raisa. Yitzhu the kia, repeat it 3 times is the raisa. Okay, but then you have, you know, you do it like the Mishnah, you do it like the raisa, you do it like Aroga Bohu. You know, and then you have the Shema Achas, Beit Hashemis, you know, is there breath between the Shvam Tshuva without the breath, and then how big is the breath, and, you know, like, so instead of just being one big mishmash, 30 kolis, so, you know, when you know what's going on, it acquires a whole different, like, but you're connecting with this, oh, this is the Tana, this other Tana, this is the Machlokes Rishonim about the bread, the Shema Achas. So, not just, you know, Balabat, even Talmid Chachamim, I've noticed, I take note that even some of the big Talmid Chachamim, they don't learn the Sugya, so they have no idea what's going on. They have the idea, the basics of it. They don't really understand what's really going on at all. No, no concept. When you understand what's going on, so it's a different world. You know, like when we say, oh, we have a new round. Good evening. Now, together with you, together with you and this.
Oh.
Good evening, welcome. We're just discussing how the other one left. We're talking about becoming knowledgeable of the Tefillah Shofar. It helps how much it enhances the mitzvah. You have somebody else who wants to stay with Baruch?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't have any major haras. I started doing the sugyas and I found it very difficult. I started then going back and just doing general stuff on tshuva, but now I don't know, after the Rav's comment, I think I may try to go back and because it was just trying to find the time.
What did you find difficult about the sugya?
Only because it's mamish learning, and you really have to sit there and learn it. And I don't have a lot of, I only have a short amount of time at the davening that I really could do it. You know, I just wasn't prepared to like break my head over new Gemara. I mean, not that I couldn't, I just didn't have the wherewithal. Maybe I should try to, you know.
It might be Eitzah. You know, many years I've had a koilo. In the koilo, we have a program of learning, you know, Babakama, and very intensively involved in it. And for a number of years now, when it comes to Elul, I stop whatever we're doing, learning, and the whole koilo, I get them to go into the zakiyas.
Wow.
It's not an easy thing to do because, even if I, you know, like, if I give an order, so officially they have to listen, but I would never do it unless I knew it was Niskabo, Haba Barossi. You know, like when I said, listen, I'm the head of the Kailo, and that's why I want it. I would never do something like that. Because it will be Mashiach anyway, but they're older people, I mean, they're mature people, and so I had to get them to have a Russian to do it. So the first couple of times it wasn't so easy, but the mice, if they were masculine and they put their heads into it and they went into it, they had a tremendous hanor from it. Like, but the just thing to say is that, like, I saw it, if it's going to be done, you just can't have a small seder of it during the day. Like, let's do a little bit of kiyas. Like, it's a very radical thing. I did. Nobody stopped the learning that we're doing, the whole sugya into, you know, let's say, Meruba, Shoshana, you know, or Hagoyzel Eitzim, stopping short, put the brakes on, and take out the Rosh Hashanah, you know. But you know, I, what I'm trying to say that even from the Kollel, I felt it was important to do that, even though it meant sacrificing, like learning. So yourself also, I mean, like everybody's saying that it's hard to keep up with the learning program and do the tikkun also, maybe you should consider this for a very short while, sacrificing one of your siddurim. But sometimes you have chavrusas and, obligations, so you have to take them into consideration. But if it's only between yourself, I think it's a good idea, a good mindset. Don't feel guilty or depression or stressful because you're stopping your b'chayris or nida or whatever it is. You know, like, you left little turrets, it's turrets, Gemara, why should you make a Seder in the Bekiyas in 15 years from now, Hanukkah time, you don't have to learn it anyway, right? So might as well learn it now, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, so, because it's part of the Torah, and one day you're going to want to learn it. So who knows when it'll come out? It'll come out, you know, Purim time or something. So might as well learn about the Bekiyas Rosh Hashanah time, right? Okay, anyway, Baruch Hashem, you have anything else you want to share with us? What about you? First name again,
Avram.
Avram, right. So you want to share with us about the Untav last week?
All of them. I wasn't so successful with actually, in essence, with the instructions. But having said that, I did facilitate certain thoughts I wouldn't have had.
Okay.
I had certain thoughts, so let's say davening. I definitely came earlier than I would have done, but I didn't come 10 minutes earlier and have finished the Kedzimah by the time. I've had to finish Korbanos and everything by the time. I probably came earlier than I would have done. Things like that, so I can't say that I managed, but it certainly helped.
Wonderful. What do I say? Okay, let's see what I say. I'm glad to have your writing equipment here, because we have to have a few volumes now, you know, for all this that we're doing here. So, with your permission, what I say, so maybe we'll continue the davening, huh? Chabal, at this point of Elul, that we should drop it, huh? You know, just want to mention that in the course of the years that I suggest the Udda, sometimes I get feedback that people bring up Mishnah Brura. Mishnah French mentions that Sukkot Zimra should be said, and of course I think the rest of davening also, but he meant it specifically even from Mishnah Brura, from Sukkot Zimra, that one should not say it, you know, with a coil. I think he brings it from the Rizal or something.
Wow.
So sometimes people pose the question to me, and the answer is similar by saying, I mean, first of all, but not exactly sure what he means with the call, without the call, what's called loud. Everybody has a different value system of what's loud and not. But there's a certain very important point here that I discussed it with somebody that's probably one of the biggest mumchim today in the Kisri Arizal, and he agreed with me that the most important thing is, as I say, connecting with these words and putting your head to it, and it should come out with inspiration, really, and with enthusiasm, right? So, today, the masses, the way we are today, if a person sits, I call laid back, quietly, and he starts reading, this is not going to be there in late day. That's where we are today. Halavai, that if you say it to Koil, Hashem Yerachem, that maybe you can try your head to it and you feel that it may be saying with some enthusiasm that you can appreciate it. But if you're just going to read it quietly to yourself, so the chances there, the sikuyim of Hatzlacha, is very, very, very now, very, very slim. So, like today, we have to stand up for a different reason, that because we're all fashlachim, we're all because of sleep. When you say it with a little bit of enthusiasm, you say it loud, you say, well, says the Mishabur, like, Mishabur is talking about that you're going to say it. And you can say it, with Kabbalah. And you have it in mind, though. So maybe Api Kabbalah is the need to say it quietly, Api Kabbalah. But you're talking about a person that's going to be up, not sleeping while he says it. Not somebody that it would be apropos to put on his pajamas, the correct apparel to wearing, according to how we say it, would be his pajamas, So the Mishnah is not talking about, the reason I'm not talking about somebody like, I'm talking about somebody that has the power and control over his mind and his faculties, that he can say it with tremendous enthusiasm, quietly, very quietly. But we, as we all know, are very limited, and if we're going to make ourselves, like zombies and mummies, to say it very, very quietly, so most probably we're not going to stimulate the enthusiasm of our mind, and it should be like, it should be an inspiration, it should be thanking Hashem, it should be really being saying Shvach HaOdor LaKadosh. His head is not going to be there, nothing to be there. So today we need this stand, we need this thing with the coil and enthusiasm. We need a question to open up our heads. It had nothing to do whatsoever with what the Mishnah brings down, that you should say quietly. Again, it's talking about somebody that leads in the level that we're talking about over here, that a minimum about of enthusiasm and spirit that's able to capture even if you say it quietly. But we don't have that power today, so we definitely need the help, the auspices of saying it with enthusiasm, with the coil, loud, right? And now on the subject, you have also standing, I would say. If you look in the form, I think it says like, the Hatchili should be sitting when you say Krishna, Api Kabbalah, right? There are different things that you should be sitting. But it says Api, you bring it Api Kabbalah, it's the same thing. What's better, to say it's sleeping, and I'll be Kabbalah, be sitting, or be alive, so there's certain parts of Daphne that says that be Kabbalah, he should be sitting better. So he's sitting, and again, he can put his pajamas on, say a mapil. So the Mishnah Berurah is not talking about, not addressing this issue that today we need this enthusiasm of saying with a coil and with standing, just to be alive. That's the first thing, to be alive when you say it. That's number one. Then you can talk about Kabbalah, sitting there and there, but the first thing is to say it. Make sure you say it. That's the first thing. And we don't, most of the time, if we're not standing, or saying with enthusiasm, we're missing some of the most basic elements. Kabbalah is better to stay, to stay, sit. Or Api Kabbalah is better to stay quietly. In the meantime, he's doing it Api Kabbalah, and he's missing the essence of it. So he has the Kabbalah without the essence. So it's a person that I know that's considered today a very, very big person in Kabbalah, and he agreed with me 100%. This Torah that everything has its time and its place and its priorities, and of course the inyan of being of stimulating your kavana today by saying it enthusiasm and standing, that takes the highest priority.
You're handing dafka.
Well, I mean, I didn't say this, as a part of the uvda, but I'm throwing in that that's the same part of the issue. If you say it with standing, you find yourself like tremendously more enthusiastic, and your head is alert and concentration and. Also, an asymptote. I didn't want to mention it earlier, but I thought it's just enough that we should say it with enthusiasm. But if you want a personal advice, so it's highly recommended to say it with standing up also. Like the whole davening, Krishna, the whole business, stand up and when you get used to standing and you see the light that comes out, so then you refuse to sit down. Because you see how much...
Even during Krishna.
Yeah. Anywhere where you would like not to sleep, so it's there. The Krishna, like the ghost game, that's the last place you want to sleep. But you see that's... In certain Chassidish Rebbe, you're an Eretz Yisrael, that I heard that he told his followers that and he personally stands the whole davening, the key davening, and he told his followers also that they should stand the whole davening. So nobody understands why. To me, it's a double pashut. I mean, it could be had your own private reason, but I don't have to look for any reasons. To me, it's pashut it's like a different world. Okay, Abusai. It's a little bit bakel tonight because there was a certain person who offered to come and to drive me to Shalayan. So I don't have the pressure of the bus. But I made him to meet him close to 9 o'clock, so I don't want to go over the time too much. Okay. Tonight, I would like to suggest, the main of this, of course, to continue with the davening, and I think it's a good idea to continue with the curiosity of the Vaisai. What I want to suggest this week, something that we did last year, and I'd like to repeat it again, tonight at Hashem, that all of us here have our own issues that we feel that according to our own tchunis, our nature, and our own messias of our lives, have nisayin and those in yonim. So I want to suggest that we say this week, all of us should pick their own private uvda to do in their own private issues that they have in their life, right? In other words, try to do it tonight, because if you don't do it tonight, what the old saying goes, it's in Bichanaka and it's time to eat the latkes.
Do what exactly? Any specific thing that we need?
In other words, everybody should try, according to their own avoda, to try to pick it up and make up it yourself. It could be a small thing, not a big object. A small little kind of object. Let's say a person has a certain tendency to cast in the house. So they should try to make up, let's say, the first 15-20 minutes in the house to be extra careful, of losing themselves. If they have problems with Shemir Sinayim, so when they walk in the street, let's say the first 15-20 minutes to try to be extra careful with that. If it's Lashon Hara, so when a person goes into a certain situation where he's sugal, to have you read the first 15-20 minutes when he's there, he should try to be extra careful with Lashon Hara. In other words, each person, according to their own nisyonis that we have, you don't have to share this with other people. Just every person privately can pick their own uvda, make it their own uvda according to their own weaknesses, right? But they try to do it tonight, because if you don't, if they can, it's going to schlep along, and who knows, you know, when finally you get to make the Ubdur. So try to do it tonight, okay? And we say, of course, whatever it is, you have to share it with anybody in the bad, like whatever it is, but, you know, learning Gemara, we have a lot of the times we have weaknesses, not fulfilling our, you know, any area whatsoever. Again, I would like to suggest that we continue our learning of the sugya in Rosh Hashanah. You know, like if you look up some of the Yishayim, Rambam Shita. Look up one or two Yishayim, I would say. On the sugya. Become, you know, a little more familiarized. I also want to, important, but I think, and we mentioned this last week, the Reb Sadie going to go through the 10 Kavanas. You didn't mention that, huh? So, it's very important that the Reb Sadie going brings down 10 reasons why we blow shofar. He doesn't say it's Kavanas, but he says there are 10 reasons. And I found that it's a tremendous source of Kavanas. Like, we're always searching for, you know, like something we can have in mind when we hear the shofar. What can we keep in mind? So, I found, Gavaldi. So, maybe you share with the Oilem, huh?
Make
a copy, right?
Sure.
Right, Gavaldi. I really wanted to bring it. I wanted to bring it. I had some technical reasons tonight that I couldn't bring it. And you have the anchorage?
I have to remember it again, but KCAART, sure.
Yeah. Okay, Basai. All right? So, what's the countdown? We have the Davin.
I'm going to the curiosity. That's the Nisyonos, to our own Uzda. The Kavanas from the Sugis Rosh Hashanah, as well as Rav Sadia Gaon. And are we doing the Tshuva and Elul things also?
Okay, so the Tshuva, maybe we'll put that aside. No, to this week.
And standing up during davening. I mean, that's part of the
Kavanah. That's part of the Okay, what's that? Any questions? Huh?
Well, let's say somebody didn't focus on all of those. There was one out of all those that the person might focus on. What would that be?
Any other questions?
Let's say a person might not focus on all of those istas, but there was to choose one. Which one should it be?
I don't know, it's hard to say. What I want is a question of not understanding. I have somebody waiting for a while outside, right? But so I just meant the question that something is not so clear. You know, I think the answer to that is that to dig in your own mind the panorama of all of them and try by yourself according to your own avoda, if it's something that you feel that yourself. Try to look at all of them together and try to pull back and try to think of what you think, not necessarily the most important thing, but something practical that you know you're going to do it. It's not necessarily the most important thing, but the one that you think, the maisa, that you're most likely that you'll really do it, together with that you have a 12 from, big 12 from. Okay, everybody say, everybody should have a wonderful week, and we should all be zeichet to be mekayim, the real purpose of tachlis, why we're in this world, you know, and it should be mitoch simcha, and it should be mitoch brias, and panasa, and shalom bayis, and nachas, and mitocha, own growth in Torah, and it should come to all together as simple as a chayim, as they say.
Thank you. Thank you.